Welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our kids in the postmodern age in which, well, we're dealing with the slow but steady decline of the influence of the Christian faith in the Western world and the utter breakdown of human civilization. Is there any value in discerning the times and explaining the confusion, the insanity, and the utter self-destructive pattern of a world that's doing that which is right in its own eyes, but refuses to fear God and has instituted the lack of the fear of God in almost every single one of its institutions? Is there any value in bringing something of an explanation? And I believe there is if we live in the period of the judges. It is important for an occasional prophet to point out the fact that we live in the period of the judges, in which people are living according to that which is right in their own eyes, and the utter confusion, chaos, and the situation that the Levite faced in Judges chapter 21 is happening today, but happening on a mass scale. Well, that's what's going on around the world right now, and we're just trying to bring a biblical explanation to it, especially for those who have any kind of a contact with the world out there. And there actually are Christians that attend public schools. There are Christians that pay attention to the news. There are Christians who go to work and engage discussions with the world on issues like transgenderism. And the transgender rage has created a very sad befuddlement for public high school sports in the United States. And basically it's this: boys pretending to be girls turn out to be stronger and faster in girls' sports than the girls. And there are liberals who are fighting tooth and nail to enable boys who are pretending to be girls to use girls' restrooms and participate in girls' sports. But boys pretending to be girls do turn out to be stronger and faster in girls' sports than the girls. And this is the huge insight. Yeah, huge insight.
Yeah. That just blows me away. I just don't get it that a boy could be pretending to be a girl that could be stronger than a girl.
And there's a lawsuit that has been apparently pulled by Alliance Defending Freedom for several high school girls from the state of Connecticut. Apparently, there are two boys that took first and second place in the state championship in the 55-meter state competition for girls track in 2019. The girls are upset. These two boys are pretending to be girls, and they turned out to be stronger and faster in track than the girls. So I guess my question is, where are the boys suing OBGYN doctors for not delivering their babies, even if they are not pregnant?
Yeah, I don't know.
There's got to be a lawsuit out there for that. There has to be. And in a world that is utterly insane, that has lost entire contact with any kind of reality.
Yeah, don't give any ideas.
Don't give them ideas. Yeah. This is where we are today. And now, you know, there's something silly about it, very, very silly. I mean, it's hardly worth talking about. And yet this is going on all around us. You know, you wonder if you're living in an insane asylum, if you really should be reporting on what's going on in the insane asylum. The difficult issue is that the insanity has gone everywhere. The insane asylum is where we live. This is an insane asylum. The world we live in has turned so irrational, so insane, that we have to interact with it from time to time. In some respects, it's silly. In some respects, it's not silly. It's funny. It's not funny. But let's talk about the root of this in just a moment. Steve, I want to get back to egalitarianism, because egalitarianism itself is forcing society into an untenable situation. I want to get back to that in just a moment. It's egalitarianism that brought about all of this transgenderism. It started with feminism. Do remember the very first of the transgenders, the very first of the transgenders were the first feminists who were writing in America and England in the 1820s and 1830s. So remember, it was the first wave of feminism that brought in transgenderism and the free sex movement of the 1800s and the 1900s. Be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast. Moms and dads, are you finding it difficult to balance homeschooling with parenting and real life? Could you use some guidance, a little encouragement along the way from experienced homeschooling dads and moms who've been there, done that, and then got some biblical wisdom by God's grace? How do you keep the main thing the main thing as you teach through math lessons, field trips, spelling exercises, and don't forget laundry and dinner tonight? The Homeschooling Teaching Summit 2.0 will refresh your excitement for the journey, equip you with practical management tools, and transform your vision for education and discipleship. For this homeschooling summit, you don't have to pack up the car, reserve a hotel room, or leave the kids at home. Our free online event is March 2nd through the 6th, with speaker sessions and discounts on homeschooling supplies. Register at homeschoolsummits.com/teaching. That's homeschoolsummits.com/teaching. And we are back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson and Steve Vaughn also with us. And today talking about, well, boys want to play on girls' teams, and they always win. And that's such a hassle because boys who want to be girls turn out to be stronger and faster, and they win when they join girls' teams. You know, there's a lot of internal contradictions when you're a humanist. It's got to be tough to be a humanist. Somebody who's trying to break every one of God's laws with impunity, they wind up in tying themselves into all kinds of knots here, Steve.
Yeah, I think what is going to end up happening ultimately, because if gender really doesn't matter and anybody can be whatever gender they want, then I think by process of elimination, everybody's going to try out for just one team. They're going to say, well, we can't have a male team, a female team, a transgender team, a whatever, you know, LBGT team, a Q team. So let's have everybody just try out for one team in every, you know, one basketball team, one football team, one curling team, one whatever, but you're going to end up with just one team, and the strongest is going to end up being that team. And in basketball and football and baseball and things like that, it's going to be the guys. So we'll be back to just a guys team, and Title IX, and I think it's Title IX, it's just not going to make any difference anymore.
Yeah, what you're saying is that in the end, if everybody wants to compete on the same level, then we're going to wind up with a single team. And the girls are not going to be on these teams unless it's a knitting competition or maybe curling.
Curling, yeah.
Something like
curling. I think they're probably better than guys are.
Not the hair kind, but the kind where you're pushing the, you know,
big rock down the, yeah, the rock down the ice.
Yeah. All right. Well, friends, egalitarianism, again, contains so many internal contradictions, it just makes it impossible and untenable. And that's where it is. The basic problem and the basic doctrine is that men and women must take on the same roles in society, or there is an inequity. So let's say that girls want to play on boys' football teams. They don't want to just play on girls' teams. They want to play on the boys' teams. Or they want to play on the one team and compete on the same basis as the boys. But here's the problem, is that girls will get crushed by 300-pound linemen. And as long as girls get crushed and killed and busted into 100 pieces by 300-pound linemen, they should not be playing on boys' football teams. So that's the issue. But until equal numbers of girls are playing on boys' football teams, they cannot be truly egalitarian. So you see, the problem is that if you're enforcing an egalitarianism, that is equal numbers of girls playing on boys' football teams, and yet the girls all get crushed and killed and broken into 100 pieces by 300-pound linemen, you're going to go through a lot of girls.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, you are going to go through a lot of girls.
And they're not
going to
like it.
You're going to be killing girls right and left. And in the end, egalitarianism is a pipe dream. It's just always been a pipe dream. It's just not going to work. It can't work.
Yeah, we were made different. I think it was, what, Newsweek back in the 90s actually asked the question, are boys and girls different at birth? I mean, it was like, could it be that we are actually different from the beginning? And I would say, yes, men and women are different. God made us different. It's like fruits and vegetables, both very important, but both very different.
Well, the assumption of the feminists and the egalitarians in our society, this is, by the way, dominating our churches. There's only, you know, 8 people in the world who disagree with this now. Or maybe it's more than that, but not very many more. This is our society. Our society is entirely bought into feminism. That's where it is today. With a few exceptions to the rule. But friends, the assumption is that girls have to play the same games that boys play. Girls have to fight the same wars that boys fight in. They have to be on the same football team. They have to be crushed by the same 300-pound linemen. And girls must be firefighters. They must be police officers in equal numbers. And until this is accomplished, the feminists and egalitarians are not happy. And so, but that's not the way God made them. And most Christians, again, have bought into this, but self-defeating is ridiculous. Now, the ideas were rooted in Plato. It goes all the way back to Plato's classic book, The Republic. This wonderful classical Greek philosopher wrote this in his Republic. There is therefore no function in society which is peculiar to woman as woman or man as man. Natural abilities are similarly distributed in each sex, and is natural for women to share all occupations with men. Our women must strip for exercise. Their character will be all the clothes they need. They must play their part in war. So what Plato is saying is that women and men are to take on the same roles in society. And so egalitarianism rooted in Plato's Republic from what, about 400 BC. And he also says that our men and women should be forbidden by law to live together in separate households. Children should be held in common, and no parent shall know his child or child his parent. Mate the best of our men with the best of our women, eugenics, and keep only the offspring of the best. And here's, children belong to the state rather than to their parents. Okay, so that's exactly what the world has done over the last 60 years, friends. Since 1940, that's pretty much it. Women went to war. Women stripped off their clothes and began to exercise in the gym. Women played the same part as men in almost every occupation. Children belong to the state. Their parents do not get married, although they will live together for 5 to 10 years. The shack-up rate is 10 to 15 to 20 times what it was in 1970. They want to keep what they perceive to be only the best offspring, and that must be why they want to kill so many babies, even minority babies. By the way, minority women constitute only about 13% of the female population in America, but they underwent approximately 36% of the abortions. What is that? The 300-fold? According to Alan Guttmacher Institute, black women are more than five times as likely as white women to have an abortion. So, friends, again, isn't that what's been happening? They want to keep what they perceive to be only the best offspring. Their parents do not get married, although they will live together for 5 to 10 years. Children belong to the state. Women play the same part as men in every occupation. Women stripped off their clothes for the gym, and women went to war. Women were not part of the war until about World War I, when 22,000 women were employed as nurses. In 1940, 216,000 women were employed in the armed forces, mainly as office workers. And then in 2013, the Secretary of Defense, Leon Panetta, lifted the ban on women in combat. And by the way, women are injured twice as often as men in combat training. Twice the percentage of women suffer from mental health conditions a year after returning from combat, some 40% versus 20% for men. So this is where our society has come. Steve, it's interesting. Almost everything I listed in Plato's Republic accomplished in the last 60 years. And think of any other period of time in human history, including the Roman world, in which all of this came to existence. This is probably the most amazing incorporation of a humanist demonic agenda in the history of the world. And Plato's Republic, all of this nightmarish stuff that he listed, women going off to wars, women stripping off their clothes for the gym, women playing the same part as men in every occupation, children belonging to the state, their children not getting married, keeping only the best of offspring, etc., etc. All of that has come to be in just the last 40, 50, 60 years. Amazing. Incredible.
Yeah. In our lifetime, we've watched this happen. I remember back in the 70s, and you know, when I was in grade school, and this was not something that we were necessarily being taught. I grew up in Western Kansas, and a lot of my teachers were Christians, and I saw them at church and at school. This was not something being taught, but we started to see this. I started to see this happening in the early 80s, and then all of a sudden things just broke loose, and look at where we are now. It is just is getting more and more rapid. The change is happening so fast, and the insanity is happening so fast. It is frightening unless you know who you belong to, and we know we belong to God.
You know, I know this is a shock to the system of people who are rooted in the classical view of life and have been trained very carefully in the classical worldview of the Romans and Greeks. This could be a shock to your system, but here's the deal. The Bible disagrees. God disagrees with those points that Plato brings out in the Republic. Our God, our Lord, has presented a completely different sociological perspective and an ethical perspective than what you find with a nightmarish utopian society configured by Plato. Plato was wrong. Plato was so wrong, and it will be proven in history that Plato was one of the most destructive persons who has ever lived. And that is working its way out in our society. Hey, this is probably the first time that an experiment in Plato's Republic has ever been attempted in its full-orbed implications, especially if you think of the Soviet Union, the United States of America, Europe, China, thinking of the most of the socialist and communist nations in the world, which, by the way, makes up most of the world. We're going to see how this experiment works its way out over the next 20 to 30 years. But what does the Word of God say? And I think this is really critical for us that we come back to this again and again. Nehemiah 4:14, of course, Nehemiah turns to the men and says in chapter 5, stop enslaving your daughters to other powers. Don't enslave your daughters. He says in Nehemiah 4:14, fight for your wives, fight for your daughters, fight for your sons. A bad guy breaks into the house. What sort of a guy would kick his daughter out there to confront the bad guy? You know, honey, take the AK-47, defend the house. You know, I'm trying to watch the end of the Super Bowl. The AK-47's in the gun cabinet upstairs in the bedroom on the right. Just defend the house. I'm going to be watching the end of the Super Bowl. So leave me alone. Somebody beer me. Give me another beer and let the daughter defend the house. What kind of guy is that?
That would be the wimpy guy, the guy that is not a guy. He is not a man. He's still a boy.
You know, I see the instances where you have an occasional Yael who will pound a big nail through the head of an enemy general. That of course, is in one of the lowest periods in all of Israel's history. But there are instances in which, yes, women do defend. But you know, you think of 1 Timothy 2 and verse 8, if man does not provide for his own household, he is denied the faith. He is worse than an unbeliever. So, I mean, the Apostle Paul is very strong on this issue that a man will be a man will be a man. And if a man's not a man, then he is worse than an unbeliever, has no part in the church of Jesus Christ. Those are tough words. Those are some of the tougher words you're going to find in Scripture. But the Apostle Paul brings that out hard and strong in 1 Timothy chapter 2. A problem I don't think is as much with women, but with men. I guess my question is, why would a man send his daughter off to war? And why would a nation of men send their daughters off to war? He isn't willing to risk his own life first and foremost. I think that's it. And, you know, he's not acting like Jesus. Would Jesus send everybody else out to sacrifice their lives?
He did that himself for us. It is that, you know, that we are to lay down our lives for our spouses. I mean, he talks about, you know, Paul talks about this as the mystery of the church. The husband and the wife is really Christ and the church, and Christ who laid himself down for the church. We as husbands, as men, have got to be ready to do that. Because and we understand that this life is not all there is. And so even if we do this, I mean, we win. We go on into the next life, and we spend the rest of our lives with God for the rest of forever.
Well, Scripture does provide roles for men and for women. And so, you know, the Bible acknowledges from the beginning that that men and women are created differently for different roles in life. And the two roles are the helpmeet for a husband in Genesis 2 immediately. The woman is created, and immediately the Lord God, the Creator, presents a role for the woman, and that is to be a helper for the man. And if you look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, you find that the woman's role is the oikos despoteo. Therefore, I desire that the young widows marry, bear children, manage the house, oikos despoteo, give no opportunity for the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some have already turned aside unto Satan. So, you know, the Bible warns of a society in which women have no opportunity or have lost the concept of the role of oikos despoteo. And what is the oikos despoteo? That's the overseer of the home. And so that's her role, and that's laid out by Scripture. And if that is not pursued, then Satan will take advantage, and Satan will bring untold destruction upon families, upon women, upon entire civilizations, if somehow we lose the vision for the woman's role in life. The woman's role is the oikos despotel. The woman's role is a helpmeet for her husband. She's involved in the economic endeavors of the home. But is that economic contribution to herself or to the large corporation? Well, Hebrews 30 or Proverbs 31 bears that out strongly. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her so that he will have no need to spoil. So there it is. The heart of her husband trusts in her as she does the work. She has an economic contribution in the home. There's no question. She is an oikos despotel. She's involved in the economic management of the household assets. So there's no question about that. But fundamentally, she doesn't work for herself and she doesn't work for some big corporation. The heart of her husband safely trusts in her so that he will have no need to spoil. God's essential vision for womanhood is also found in 1 Timothy 2. In like manner, also the women should adorn themselves in modest apparel with propriety and moderation, not braiding hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. Let a woman learn in silence with all submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. Nevertheless, she will be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with self-control. You know, it's interesting. We just read that as a family in our family devotions yesterday. We're working our way through 1 Timothy right now. And my daughters had a lot to say about this. They said, Dad, that would be probably the most controversial thing you could ever say in a college classroom. You stood up and you read from 1 Timothy 2. They would stone you.
Yeah.
You would be dead by the end.
So, yeah, really anything from the Bible, but especially that.
Yeah, especially that, right. These are fighting words. But I think we need to ask ourselves, are we training our daughters with this in mind? You know, this is God's vision for womanhood. And are we saying, okay, this is God's picture. This is God's will. This is God's desire. And we love God. And we want to provide God with what he desires and the vision he has for our children and for our daughters. And I know this is an outrageous example, but, you know, parents need to seek the will of God for their children, for their daughters. And we need to ask ourselves, how do we best seek out the vision that God has for our daughters? Would your daughter competing in the local homeschooling mud wrestling team really accomplish that vision? You know, the meek and quiet spirit, modesty, submission, propriety, and moderation. You know, is this experience your daughter would have in competing in the local homeschool mud wrestling team really accomplish this vision? My difficulty here, Steve, is I'm not sure that we ever think about this. We don't ask these questions as we should. And what about the volleyball team or what about the football team? And, you know, should we spend a lot of time in competitive sports or maybe not quite as much time in competitive sports? You know, in other words, I'm not telling anybody that you shouldn't do this or you shouldn't do that. I'm just simply saying, screw your head on straight and ask the question, how can we best prepare our daughters for the vision that God has for them, as expressed very clearly in 1 Timothy chapter 2? Now, I think, you know, in terms of women fighting in battles, I think the idea of engaging in highly competitive, somewhat violent competitive sports pretty much aligns with Plato's vision for womanhood. But here's my question. We seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what can we do to accomplish the vision that God has for our daughters? And we're going to end there on this edition of the Generations radio broadcast. I realize that these are difficult questions, but friends, we're just telling you, love God, submit to God, receive the wisdom of God's word before you bow to the gods of the marketplace and embrace Plato and embrace the worldview and the social view of our world around us. Step back and ask yourself, could Plato be wrong and could God be right on this one? Ask yourself that question first and then submit yourself to the will of God and the vision that God has for your daughters. And that wraps up this edition of the Generations broadcast. Let me encourage you to our Proverbs Bible study guides, which get into these issues. In fact, we have an extended portion in our Proverbs Bible study guide on chapter 31, God's vision for womanhood. So
Give your children the Book of Proverbs, first and foremost. Don't trust the gods of the marketplace. Don't be trusting the zeitgeist. Please, 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 don't trust whatever the world has done in the last 60 years. Just throw it away. And pull out the Book of Proverbs. And I encourage you to our Proverbs Bible Study Guides, available at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.